188 years ago this week, a small band of valiant men began a long struggle for freedom. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, not only to found a nation, but to forge an ideal of freedom.
Too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Greetings, white America. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier from my log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia. Every day, we battle the loony left.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
But still, we manage to persevere because the good guys always win, even in the 20s. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. Now folks, I do have to apologize. I know the last portion of last week's show sounded like I was inside of a 55-gallon drum, and well, for all intents and purposes, I was. I had turned my microphone around to one side to kind of record something, and unbeknownst to me, when I turned it back around, I turned it away from me, and being that this is a Rode Gold Dot mic, the gold dot must be facing you at all times, and all of a sudden everything was at half volume, and I cranked everything up, and it still sounded echoey, and I got done with the show, and it finally dawned on me that the mic was backwards. So that echo was coming from the fact that I was speaking on the back side of the mic and my voice was bouncing off the monitor and coming back. So it's the simplest things, but did get that taken care of. But folks, I am excited. George, cue the music. Cue it up. Folks, I told you before, if I tell you something with certainty, believe it. Do not doubt me. I told you the protests were going to start and it was going to escalate from there. We might see riots. Thank goodness we didn't. It has gone from stage one directly to stage three. Gaston County, North Carolina, which is just one county over from where I live here in Mecklenburg County, has told Governor Roy Cooper to go and pound sand. They will no longer abide by his stay-at-home orders. They have taken it upon themselves to nullify that. They will not enforce it. They may expect to fight this in court. I don't think it's going to come to that because you're going to start to see this happening everywhere else as the people of this country stand together, they unite, and they take this country back and they start to reopen their businesses. Folks, I want you to listen to what the county commissioner had to say. The entire board of county commissioners voted on this. It is a done deal. This is the lead county commissioner, the chair, I guess you would call him. I want you to hear what he had to say to our governor.
If you own a business in Gaston County and you can practice social distancing, strict sanitation, and proper hygiene, your Gaston County Commission supports your decision and your right to go back to work. We base that off of hospital capacity.
So in other words, he's telling you the same thing that I have been telling you, that the numbers just don't jive. They were telling us to expect thousands of people to be hospitalized for this, millions of people to be hospitalized for this, and the numbers just aren't bearing fruit. So what he has come out and said was that based on the hospital numbers, you guys are full of beans, and we are going to do what we want because this is our county. And yes, Governor Roy Cooper, you can go stick it where the sun don't shine. And my friends, I told you it was going to happen, and it has started. I honestly don't know if this is the first place where this has happened, but it is certainly one of the earliest. And I was really, really surprised that it started here in North Carolina. Well, I am in a way, and in a way I'm not. Because once you get outside of Mecklenburg County, Wake County, and these really blue liberal counties where all the Yankees have come down. And hey, look, if you're from up north, this is not saying anything detrimental against you by calling you a Yankee, okay? I was born in Connecticut. I've relayed that to you before. It's just that I moved down here and I became naturalized and I understood who was actually correct in the Civil War and who wasn't. But the point that I'm trying to make is that when you get into the rural counties here in North Carolina, everything is as red as a Dixie cup. It's only in a few counties where everything is blue. And unfortunately, those counties have a huge number of voters, like here in Mecklenburg County, that's Charlotte. Wake County, that's Raleigh. And they carry a lot of weight. But once you get outside of that, everything is still red. And for the most part, North Carolina is still a red state, except for a few counties. And this county, Gaston County, being a very red county, every single county commissioner in Gaston County is a Republican. So what does that tell you, folks? This is all going down party lines. The Democrats want to keep us locked up in our homes under house arrest, and the Republicans want us to be free. And finally, Gaston County has done it. God bless them. Amen. I hope that other counties across the state and across this country continue to follow suit and take this country back.
It's Tommy Freedom.
You're darn right it's me. But it's not just here in North Carolina. This is starting to happen all across the country as more and more people are getting more and more fed up with all of this nonsense. Now, out in California, Governor Newsom decided that everybody was having too much fun at the beach. That couldn't be tolerated. No. We cannot allow people to have fun. So he closed the beaches again. Well, this didn't go over too terribly well with the sheriff of Orange County. That would be Don Barnes. And he says, the photographs I saw, quite honestly, were a stark contrast to what the governor's acting on. And he also said that he's not taking enforcement action on this order. My intent is to seek voluntary compliance, he said. I have no desire to enforce through arrest. Well, good for him, really, and I mean that. It's about time that people started standing up to these draconian governors, these officials, these dictators who are just taking matters into their own hands. In Texas, let me just pull this up real quick here. There were a couple of armed vigilantes who showed up to support a store that had opened back up. They've had some issues in the Dallas area. There was a salon owner who was openly defying this order. She's been sued by the city. She's been fined $1,000, which she says she's going to refuse to pay. Now, this is an article. Where is this article from? This is from Big League Politics, which I run into every now and then, but I want you to listen to the very last paragraph. I'm not going to go over this entire story here. I want you to listen to the important part. Final paragraph says, the vigilantes are sending a message to the government that this type of tyranny will not be tolerated for long. The people are getting restless and want their freedom back. If they do not get it back soon, civil unrest may be around the corner. That's very important, folks, because this is what I've been telling you ever since this nonsense began. I told you about the three stages. Now, I really thought the riots would come before people would start taking their jobs back. Apparently, I was mistaken about that. I had the order out a little bit. It's gone around. So first of all, we had all the protests, which we're still seeing. And then I thought you would see the riots and then people would begin to take their jobs back. But that's not the way it's going. Apparently, people are starting to take their jobs back. And if the government doesn't stand down and stop interfering with what's going on with these people, that's when it's going to start to get nasty. So, I mean, I had the ideas were exact. They're spot on. I just had the order out a little bit. So I do admit I made a mistake on that. When I do make a mistake, I will admit it. But still, this is what we're going to start to see as more and more people get more and more fed up with the nonsense that's been going on. In New Mexico right now, there's a very good case of that going on, where these draconian measures are just getting worse and worse. Now, there's a town in western New Mexico. It's called Gallup. For those of you who aren't too terribly familiar with how the states are laid out, Gallup, New Mexico is almost into Arizona. It's below Shiprock, New Mexico, not too terribly far from the Four Corners area. And as I recall, it's entirely inside of the Navajo Reservation. I do know that the entire town is nothing but Navajos when you go out there. The absolute worst service I ever got at fast food was in a Burger King in Gallup, New Mexico. I was the only customer and I was still given a number. That's how slow they were. But I found this story here, and this is very, very disturbing. It's entitled, New Mexico Takes More Drastic Measures Against Virus Hotspot. And it says that they're invoking provisions of the State Riot Control Act, and New Mexico's Governor Michelle Lujan Grissom ordered residents of Gallup to remain home except for emergencies and blocked roads leading in and out of town to non-essential travel and any vehicles carrying more than two people. Now, you won't believe how strong this gets as the article continues. It says the restrictions were welcomed by local and state officials who have watched COVID-19 infections spread to nursing homes and homeless populations, as well as to overwhelm hospital intensive care units, yada, yada, yada. Some visitors were caught off guard as they traveled from the Navajo Nation to stock up on supplies. It says stack up, but I think that meant stock up. Only to find entire sections of the Gallup Walmart cordoned off as sales were restricted to food and other non-essential commodities. And there's a photograph. This is what caught my attention. They have caution tape across the aisles, and the sign is in English and Spanish, and it says, sale of non-essential items prohibited. Prohibited. They're not selling non-essential items, okay? I can understand non-essential travel, but who the hell are you to decide what's essential and what's non-essential? Because I can tell you, you might think something is non-essential and I might need it very badly. And a good case in point is the other week, I had to go buy more underwear because I bleached my socks and my underwear. I forgot about them, left them in there for 8 hours, and they essentially just fell apart, disintegrated in my hands when I took them out to put them in the dryer. So for me, underwear was very, very much essential. So the article goes on to say, they didn't tell us on the radio or anything, said Patrick Sandoval of Ganado, Arizona, who came in search of food, games, baby wipes, and other items for his family and neighbors. You don't find out until you get there? That's just for essential items? That's wrong. Well, it is. Despite the restrictions, lines of shoppers outside Walmart stretched for hundreds of yards on Friday afternoon. So this was last Friday. Stores have been ordered to close under emergency provisions that expire at noon on Monday, but they can be extended by order of the governor. Gallup is a hub for basic household supplies, liquor sales, and water container refills for people living in remote stretches of the Navajo Nation. If you've never been out there, folks, there are some barren areas, often without full indoor plumbing, and indigenous Zuni Pueblo. The Navajo Nation has imposed evening and weekend curfews on the reservation spanning parts of New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah. Now, State Senator George Munoz, who's a Democrat from Gallup, said the flow of visitors had gotten out of hand with little regard to state social distancing mandates as federal stimulus checks arrived in March. He believes the crackdown had strong public support in Gallup. I don't think so. Let me find there was something here. Homeless residents who contracted COVID were being offered temporary shelter. Well, homeless don't belong there anyway. I'm looking here. City officials in Gallup requested the new state of emergency under the Riot Act that can prohibit people from walking the streets and using certain roads. Now listen to this. Violations are punishable as misdemeanors on the first offense and as a felony on the second offense for walking down the road, my friends. Emergency declarations under the act expire after 3 days, but they can be renewed. And there was, where was it? Oh, yes. To the east, a pawn shop in Grants. Now, if you're not familiar with New Mexico, again, let me just give you an idea. Everybody's heard of Albuquerque, okay? Grants is located about 100 miles east of Gallup. It's on Interstate 40, just like Gallup is, and about halfway between Gallup and Albuquerque. That will give you kind of an idea in your head. It's in the middle of a national forest or something, but I honestly don't remember more than scrub growth growing there. But it says to the east, a pawn shop in Grants has been notified of a possible $60,000 fine for remaining open in defiance of a statewide public health order that restricted non-essential business operations. That's serious stuff. But you're going to start to see people acting more and more defiantly as this crap goes on. It says that the city of Grants, that got 9,000 people in it, has become a flashpoint of political conflict after Mayor Martin Hicks urged all businesses to reopen against the governor's orders and advice from nearby Acomo Pueblo. Now, that is exactly what I was telling you is going to happen. And if they continue to come in and mess with these businesses, that's when it's going to get ugly. I really think what's going to start to happen is that people are going to accompany these store owners, and they're going to like stand guard to make sure the police don't come and enforce this crap. And if they do, that's probably where you're going to see some gunshots exchanged. And once that starts, it's going to just happen more and more as people get tired of it. And eventually, they're just going to throw their hands up and walk away and just let everybody do whatever they're going to do. Because in these areas, it's not that they're saying, okay, it's legal to open back up. They're just saying, screw you to the governor of those particular states, like here in North Carolina, and there, that town, Grants, New Mexico, telling the governor to go rotate. They're going to do what they want. They're not going to allow this to happen. They're going to reopen. Same thing with that sheriff in California, in Orange County, saying he's not going to enforce the laws. He's not going to arrest people for going to the beach. That's what's going to happen. The police are just going to say, we're not enforcing this, and that's how it's going to operate. Yeah, it's technically still going to be illegal, but at the same time, if you're not enforcing it, what good is it? So this business is looking at a $60,000 fine for opening up or remaining open. I guess from what they're saying, they never even closed. They just said, screw you, we're going to stay open. This pawn shop. Now, pawn shops are considered essential here in North Carolina because they sell guns. Guns are considered essential. Gee, I wonder why guns are considered an essential item. Possibly because we need them to defend ourselves against these whacked out governors who are starting to act more and more like dictators every freaking day. Speaking of guns and dictators, I have a friend up in Halifax, Nova Scotia, who texted me the other day asking me about banning assault weapons, what I thought would happen if they tried to ban them here, and I tried to explain to him that would never happen. And he said, well, maybe if there were no guns, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, that's my entire point. That is why we have 400 million guns in this country. So I finally realized what he was talking about when I found an article that Justin Trudeau, who was acting more like Gary Trudeau, the author and the drawer cartoonist that made Doonesbury, has just decided that he is going to ban 1,500 different types of firearms in the country of Canada. Listen to what this moron has to say, and then I'll go over it and I will explain to you why he's wrong.
Today, we are closing the market for military-grade assault weapons in Canada. We are banning 1,500 models and variants of these firearms by way of regulations. These weapons were designed for one purpose and one purpose only, to kill the largest number of people in the shortest amount of time. For many families, including many indigenous people, firearms are part of traditions passed down through generations, and the vast majority of gun owners use them safely, responsibly, and in accordance with the law, whether it be for work, sport shooting, for collecting, or for hunting. But you don't need an AR-15 to bring down a deer. So, effective immediately, it is no longer permitted to buy, sell, transport, import, or use military-grade assault weapons in this country. To protect law-abiding gun owners from criminal liability until they can take steps to comply with this new law, there will be a 2-year amnesty period, and we will legislate fair compensation. But even amid this terrible pandemic, we have seen the impact that someone with a gun can have in devastating the lives of family members of communities in our country. That's why it is always a good moment to move forward on measures that keep Canadians safe, and that is why we are moving forward with this today.
You know, we had the opportunity after the Revolutionary War to take Canada. We had just kicked the crap out of Great Britain and everything that they stood for, and there was no way that they could have stopped us if we had gone in and taken Canada, and we should have done it. We wouldn't have a lot of the problems we have today if we didn't have a socialist country living right next door. We should have taken Canada. That aside, did you notice how he very cleverly wound in the whole thing about banning these guns and the pandemic? Kind of leading the way, coaching everyone to kind of think that, well, maybe you people in the United States, you know, if things get too bad with this pandemic and you have all these armed rebels coming about, that maybe that's why you should have your guns banned. No, that's exactly Mr. Trudeau. Why we have our guns. This is exactly why you will never take our guns from us. If you try it again, particularly in this situation, as angry as everyone is, it will become a shooting war very, very quickly. Now notice that he, in his ignorance, said two things. One was actually correct. He said these weapons are designed to kill as many people as they can in the shortest period of time. That's correct. However, they are not assault weapons, and I am tired of hearing that nomenclature used incorrectly. An assault weapon fires full auto. AR-15s, AK clones, Tech-9s are incapable of firing full auto unless you illegally modify them, and it requires an extensive amount of machining to do it. You can't just simply swap some parts and suddenly go from an AR-15 to an M16. It is not physically possible. So he's very misleading in this and very ignorant also. He has absolutely no idea what these guns were designed for. Yes, they were designed to kill. They were designed to be used in war. They were also designed to be used, Mr. Prime Minister, in an insurrection. Should people like you ever try and take my guns away from me? That is exactly why these guns were designed. That is exactly why we as Americans will continue to own these guns. And by the way, Mr. Prime Minister, to show how ignorant you are when you said you don't need an AR-15 to take down a deer, let me explain something to you, okay? The 223 round, which has now been converted to the military 5.56mm round. There are slight differences. I will not get into that with you again. I've explained it before. The 223 cartridge that Eugene Stoner used when he designed the Armalite AR-15 was built off of the 222, which is a deer rifle, Mr. Prime Minister. So is the 223 round. The 5.56mm version is not, but the 223 round is an excellent deer round. And as I've explained to you before, so is the 7.62 by 39 millimeter round that was originally designed for the SKS, then adapted to be used in the AK-47. They are excellent deer rounds. So don't give me that garbage that we don't need these guns to go deer hunting. Because here in North Carolina, you quite frequently see the SKS and the AR-15 being used as a deer round and a deer weapon, Mr. Prime Minister. So pull your head out of your butt and look at the facts and the realities and understand how we as Americans feel when we face this and when we see what you're doing to our neighbors to the north. You're disarming them. You're a socialist country. You are one step away from being a communist country. We've seen what happened in Europe. We're seeing what's happening in Canada, and we sure as hell are never going to accept that here in the United States. Go back and listen to my show, Who Would Win a Civil War, if it happened here in the United States? Who would win and why? Go back and listen very carefully to what I had to say. This is why you could never have a civil war in Canada that would be successful, because they have been declawed. They've been unarmed. They have had the ability to defend themselves taken away from them, just like our brethren across the pond in Europe have been as well, who are now, by the way, lamenting having ever accepted that. So my friends, with what I was talking to you before about standing up, never giving in, and never surrendering, and with what's going on in Canada right now, I'm going to leave you with a song by a band called Lion. And if you've ever seen The Wraith, this song is going to sound familiar to you, because it was the song that was played during the race between The Wraith and Minty. This song is called Never Surrender. And my friends, don't you ever surrender either. Don't give in to the liberals, to the socialists, or to the communists who want to destroy this country, this world, and put you into eternal slavery. Don't let them do it. Never surrender.
Keeps me going strong. let us pray.